Second Peter chapter 1, if you want to turn there, we'll get started there. Right before 3 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll read a few verses here. This will sort of be like the, it's not going to seem like it as the teaching goes on, but this is going to be like the theme verse we're going to get to in a few minutes. It ain't going to look like it, but it will be. So we'll start off in verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, this is the verse. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And verse 4 came up a few times in manifestations, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, so on and so forth. I wanted to look at that phrase in verse 3. Well, it says, his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. And that knowledge of him, that's what I would like to look at. The word of there, if you know anything about Greek, it's a genitive. A lot of genitives. This is probably genitive of origin, meaning the knowledge that comes from God, the knowledge that originates with God. He's called us, he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge that comes from God. Now, holding that in mind, what is some of the knowledge that has come from God? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of who?
God.
Okay, so that's some knowledge that comes from God. And it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is, next word?
Profitable.
Profitable. You could, well, we'll get there. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to, next word?
Profit.
Profit withal. So, the scripture is given for profit, but it's profitable. The manifestations of the Spirit are given for profit, they're profitable. Here it says, through the knowledge which originates from God, which comes from God. Now, does God give knowledge by the manifestations of the Spirit? Yeah. Just coincidentally, that's how we got all Scripture.
Yeah.
You know, people operate in manifestations, and that's the source of the Scriptures. Now, if you turn to Proverbs 28, and this is what we're going to keep in mind, the knowledge that originates with God. Proverbs 28. While you're going to Proverbs 28, a lot of this I'm just going to be reminding you of verses, and you can look them up later if you want to. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are what kind of words?
Pure
words, like silver purified, tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, right? They're pure words. Those words of the Lord, that's knowledge that comes from God, right? They're pure words. We're going to sort of look at that too today. Proverbs 28. Verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Before we go a whole lot further here, that word bold, it's translated from a certain Hebrew word. It's used 120 times in the Old Covenant writings. Guess how many times it's translated bold? You're looking at it. Out of 120 times, it's translated bold one time. It's usually translated trust or trusted in, that sort of thing. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. It's that same. The word trust is the same as the word bold here. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Same as the word they translated bold. It's translated a couple, like maybe three or four times with the word confident, like to be confident or confidence, something like that. You could look it up. That would have been a terrific translation if they would have used that word here in Proverbs 28:1. The righteous are confident as a lion. You know, you think bold as a lion, you think of the lion roaring. Okay, well, they roar, but confident would really have communicated great. Because when a lion, you know, roams through the savannah or wherever the lions go, Is that lion worried about getting jumped by a monkey? That the monkey's going to jump on him and eat him? Or, oh no, here comes the zebra. Quick, run. Or, you know, here's a meerkat. Yikes. No. He can see all those critters. He's just walking along. He's not worried about somebody's going to jump on him and kill him and eat him, because he's an apex predator. He's the one that jumps on and kills and eats everybody else. They don't jump on him and kill him. That's why he's confident. He's not worried. There's a hippopotamus. There's a zebra. There's all this other antelope. You know, if he's hungry, he'll go get one. Other than that, he's not really worried about one of them coming and getting him. If you hold this in mind, keep your finger here, by the way. Turn to John chapter 10. We'll take a look at this. John chapter 10. The righteous are confident as a lion. And in verse 31. We used to like this when I was a teenager. Well, never mind. Verse 31. Getting stoned.
Oh.
Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. This, you know, we don't really do that in this country anyway today. This, to us today, maybe it'd be sort of like, then the Jews, you know, pulled out a .357. And now he's staring down the barrel of a .357. That sort of gets your attention a little bit more, right? Mm-hmm. Look at verse 32. Jesus answered them, I've done a lot of good works which I've showed you from my Father. Which of those are you going to stone me for? He's staring down the barrel of a .357. You know, I've done a lot of good works. I've shown you that from my Father. Which one of those are you going to stone me for? You think that would be a typical... I mean, I think, you know, at least pick up a frying pan. You know, so you can deflect the stones or something if you got one in your back pocket. You know, but it said the righteous are confident as a lion. And that thing in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, that last part of that would be, a good translation for that would be, and don't rely on your own intellect. You know, lean not to your own understanding. Don't rely on your own intellect. He was confident as a lion here. Was Jesus confident in himself? Or was he perhaps confident in God? Probably trusting in the Lord with all his heart. Right? So there would be maybe an example of he's trusting in the Lord with all his heart. He's confident as a lion. God says, don't run away. Ask him this question. He doesn't say, that doesn't sound like a good idea. I think I should run. He just asked him what God told him to ask him. Now go back to Proverbs 28. I should have told you to leave a finger in John, but oh well, too late now, right? And just go one chapter backward from where we were. Chapter 27, verse 12, says, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now remember Psalm 12:6, words of the Lord are pure words. Well, wait a minute. In Proverbs 28:1, it said the righteous are confident as a lion. Here it says if you're prudent, you're going to hide yourself. So now I got to choose. Should I be prudent or should I be righteous? You know, should I hide or should I be bold? Well, I'm confused. Remember, through the knowledge of him, God's knowledge comes by all scripture or by manifestations. So here, we'll look at, you can keep your finger here in Proverbs. I don't know if we're coming back or not, but just to be safe, all right? Turn back to John, to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8, the last verse of chapter 8, verse 59, says, then they took up stones to cast at him, at Jesus. But Jesus asked them, many good works have I done for my which I showed you from my Father. What? No, he didn't say that, did he?
No.
But he did what?
Hid himself.
Oh, why did he hide himself here, but he asked him a question in the other place? You know, manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for profit. That's the interlinear translation. You know, are the scriptures written? Yeah. What if Jesus decided, what if he relied on his own intellect, said, I know it's your Bible, you know, Proverbs 3:5, or, you know, Proverbs 28:1 says, be bold as a lion. So I'm going to be bold as a lion here. If he had relied on his own intellect, well, I know the scriptures. I'll just be bold. That might have been the end of the gospel right there. You know, but he didn't. He knew the scriptures, right? He knew them. But he didn't rely on his own intellectual knowledge of the scriptures. He had that, but he also had, John 3:34 says, God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. He had the Spirit also. And so he utilized, you can see plenty of places in the Gospels where he did quote Scripture, but he also utilized the Spirit that God gave to him, which is one reason why here in John 8:59, he hid himself, whereas in John 10:32, a very similar situation, he asked him a question. While we're here in John, just go back to the very first part of this chapter 8. Somebody else getting ready to get stoned. Not in a good way. Chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Verse 2, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they said, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. God, explain something here. Because to us today in our culture, that in the very act means in the very act. It didn't mean that in this culture. In the very act, in this act indeed, or something like that. What it means is she was illegitimately pregnant. That's all, you know, if she is pregnant, there's no question what caused that pregnancy. And if she wasn't married, then that would be adultery. You know, so if she's pregnant and she's not married, you don't have to wonder what she did. Yes, she did. And so this is what they're saying. That's that in the very act thing. Verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that that such should be what?
Stoned.
Well, what do you say? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground. They added the rest of the verse. Verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that's without sin among you, let him throw the first stone. Why did he say that at the end of John chapter 8? When they picked up stones to throw at him, why didn't he say to them, well, he that's without sin among you, cast the first stone? Why didn't he say that in John 10:32? Manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, right? What scripture is there that says this, he that's without sin? I mean, we got it in the scripture now, but what scripture did Jesus look at? There wasn't one. You know, he operated the Spirit that God had given him. So that factors in with that 2 Peter 1:3, remember? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Did these situations pertain to life? It seems like Jesus' life at the very least, and two of them, this woman's life here in the first part of chapter 8. Were these situations handled in a godly manner, in the way that God wanted these situations to be handled? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were they handled because of Jesus' intellectual knowledge of the scriptures? No. They were handled because God gave not the Spirit by measure unto him. He used what God had given him, and that's how he knew. We looked at Proverbs 27:12. You know, it says the simple pass on and punish. Go to Psalm 116. We'll just look at a couple. And again, this is sort of like, you know, life is kind of like this. It's not so, you know, you can see that Proverbs 27:12. Oh, I'll be prudent and hide myself. Then you get to Proverbs 28:1. Oh, I should be bold. You know, it sort of looks like, well, do I have to choose? These are just, Proverbs is a book. It's designed to give understanding to the simple, knowledge and discretion, you know, that sort of thing. And it's not like, for this situation, do this, and for that situation, do that. It's different. Oh, you know what? Yeah, we're here at Psalm. We'll get to that in a minute. Psalm 116, right? Since we're here, there's another good one we are. Psalm 116, look at verse 6. It says, the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Well, wait a minute. In Proverbs 27:12, it said the simple pass on and are punished. Now here it says the Lord preserves the simple. Same word. Which is another place where we use the same word with different meanings plenty of times, right? Like the word run. I'm going to run to the store. Okay, that's a verb. You're moving along pretty quick. Or you could say, that's a deer run. That run is a noun. It's a path where the deer keep going back and forth. We do that plenty of times. God does the same thing. The simple in Proverbs 27:12, the simple pass on and are punished. That's talking about somebody who's immature in their mind. They're just inattentive, like they may have been when they were much younger. You know, mentally inattentive, just, you know, not really got much going on in their brain. Here in Psalm 116, verse 6, the simple is talking about somebody who has childlike innocence. Same sort of, both are childlike, but the one is a childlike innocence. The other one is, you know, that person's 65 going on 5. You know, we've never met anybody like that, I'm sure. I feel like I'm that way sometimes myself. You know, but where I got air between my ears, but that's about it. You know, but that's the difference. Same word, but you got to understand it within the context. And life is like that a lot, right? Well, even like we read with Jesus. Same situation in John 8:59 and John 10:32. Same situation. They were going to stone him in both those situations, but he handled it differently, like the word simple is handled differently. We'll look at another one here. Verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The word precious means costly. Now, if you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In Psalm 116:15, costly in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. Same Hebrew word for death is coming up here. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. If you just take that last phrase by itself, what does that even mean? And the day of death better than the day of one's birth? It doesn't make any sense. You have to add those two words, is better, from the first part of the verse. It's a figure of speech, ellipsis. You know, you can say, I'm going to go to the store and then home. What does that even mean, and then home? I'm going to go to the store and then I'm going to go home. You know, we do it all the time. Same thing here. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Well, wait a minute. Psalm 116:15 says it's costly, that in the sight of the Lord is the death of saints. Here it says the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on? Context again, the day of one's birth. What has a person done? What has that person done? What have they accomplished for God? Nothing. They've cried and they've messed their diaper. That's about it. Maybe they fed a little bit. That's about it. The day of one's death, what has that person been able to accomplish for God? A whole lot. That's what this is talking. It's the same word, different meaning, same word. Just got to read the context is all. Go back to Proverbs right quick. Chapter 26. This is a really good one. A really good one in a sense if you want to get confused quick. This will do it for you. Proverbs chapter 26. When I first saw this, I was like it was slim pickings, right? What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4 says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like unto him. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits. What in the wide, wide world of sports? You know, it's different instructions for different situations. It's not a command, because if it was a command, you'd be left hanging out in the wind. And it's not like he said one of these verses like in Exodus and said the other one in Malachi or something like that. It's one right after the other. God making it very obvious. This is something, these are, what would you say, options that are available to you. You know, in this situation, you might want to do it this way. In this other situation, which might look very similar, you might want to do it this other way. How would you know? According to the knowledge which originates with God. Here's all scripture which was given by inspiration of God, and the manifestation of the Spirit is also profitable. So we might find ourselves in a situation saying, well, I could do it this way or I could do it that way. Or we could find ourselves in situations like Jesus where there's no scripture that says, if people are about to stone you, yeah. You know, ask them a question. Or if people are about to stone you, hide yourself. Or if people are about to stone you, ask them, who's the first, who's without sin among you? Let them throw the first rock. There's no scriptures that say that. You know, so it's a knowledge of God's word, but that Proverbs 3:5 thing is really good. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't rely on your own intellect, even with the knowledge of the scriptures. Because even with the knowledge of the scriptures, it could go this way, you know, hide yourself, or it could go that way. Confident as a lion. Well, not that he was not confident as a lion. Here's a good point, too. In John 8:59, where he hid himself, was Jesus not confident in that situation? He was. Who was he confident in? He was confident in God. Now, consider this. Here's Jesus. He's done all these things that he's done. Would it have been possible? Hi, Allie. Sorry, I didn't mean to ignore you the whole time. Would it have been possible for Jesus to have said, hide myself? What's that going to do for my image? All the things that I've done, you want me? I got my reputation to think about. Would it have been possible for Jesus to have thought that? He had free will. He wasn't possessed. He could think whatever he wanted to think. It was possible. It was also possible for him to, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And if you say hide, that's what I'll do. That was possible. So, really terrific. For to have a knowledge of the scriptures, that's great. That's beneficial. To have an operation of the manifestations is also, it looks like it's sort of required. That, because otherwise, how would you really know, even if you knew the scriptures, well, what should I do in this situation? And there might not be any scripture that talks about that specific situation. Look at Luke chapter 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Chapter 18. You know, what was it, Acts 17:11? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. The words to find out, I added those in italics. But, you know, you can understand that they didn't just search the scripture whether those things were so. They searched the scriptures to find out whether the things that Paul and Silas were teaching were really right. So, yeah, need to have a knowledge of the scriptures, but to have that, you know, all things pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge which comes from God. If it's just scriptures, in a lot of ways, you're sort of hanging out in the wind. You know, you get in a specific situation. We need information from God regarding that specific situation. And if I rely on my own intellect, oh, I know she Bible, then, you know, which verse, how would you know which verse applies? There might not be any verse that applies to that particular situation. You know, make sure you park in front of a fire hydrant. I don't think there's a verse in the Bible that says that. You know, but what if a situation came up where God wanted you to do that? You know, we've been involved in some situations where God would tell us to do things, and it just, you're like, that just is not a good idea. And yet, if you did it, you found it okay, and it turned out great. If you did not do it, you find out, oh, now I understand why I should have. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes it's like a lot of stuff. You know, the more times you stub your toe, after a while you just get tired of stubbing your toe. You know, speak for myself anyway. You say, this looks like a really bad idea.
But all right.
The other ones look like a bad idea too. You know, like Jesus might have thought, ask him a question. I'm staring down the gun barrel of a .357 and you want me to ask him a question? It could have looked like a really bad idea. But he did it. Because he trusted God. You know. Here's Luke 18. We'll start in verse 18. Which says, and a certain ruler asked him, Jesus, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what are you calling me good for? There's none good except one, that's God. You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. He said, all these things have I kept since I was a kid. Verse 22, now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell everything you got, distribute to the poor, you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Verse 23, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly
shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. So now we know, here's this guy, he was very rich. Jesus told him, you know, one thing you lack, go sell everything you got, give it to the poor, gonna have treasure in heaven, come follow me. So now we know, you know, if somebody's rich, that's what they should do, right? Okay, turn to the very next chapter of Luke, chapter 19. Start in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a certain man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the tax collectors, and he was what?
Rich.
Oh, baby. We know what's coming now, don't we? Boy, is this guy going to be in for a surprise. Verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and couldn't for the press because he was a short guy. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, go sell everything you got, give it to the poor. Oh, sorry. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest, with a man that was a sinner. This verse is hilarious to me. He's gone to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. Okay, all you guys that are murmuring, I guess you're not sinners. I guess you're without sin. You know, he's going to be with sinners. Oh, okay, I guess you never rub elbows, like even with each other, right? You're not sinners at all. It's just funny to me. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, That's good, Zacchaeus, that you're giving half of your goods to feed the poor. You're on the right track there. You know, you're making progress, but you need to sell everything that you have, you know, and give it to the poor. He didn't say that. He said to him, This day is salvation. Come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Well, why didn't he say that to the other guy? You know, again, all things that pertain to life in godliness through the knowledge which originates with God. This knowledge has originated with God. This knowledge came by means of the manifestations of the Spirit. And how God has really blessed us in that he's given us both. You know, it wasn't always that way. Before the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, some people had spirit from God. After Acts chapter 2, everybody who confesses Jesus as Lord, believes in their heart God raised him from the dead, everybody has spirit from God. So God can communicate directly with all of his children, which is just, it's not unbelievable, but it's surreal. It's just like, you got to be kidding me. Everybody has spirit? It's the first time in the history of whatever, you know, since you could go from Genesis 3:15 or what, from all the way forward, it's the first time that everybody on the whole planet had it available to them to have spirit from God. It's just, it's surreal. So these things are might be good to keep in mind with 2 Peter 1:3, whereby, you know, all things that are that pertain unto life and godliness are given to us through the knowledge which originates with God. Could be scriptural knowledge, could be manifestation knowledge. The scriptures came by manifestations. So I thought that 2 Peter 1:3, it's really great to think of that. You know, that word knowledge of him, it includes both.